The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Today I'm really thrilled to be joined by two of our semi-regular guests on The Parents Show, Lena Gardner and Binny Figura from Raiden Solicitors, right here in St Albans, but across Hertfordshire, actually.
And they are, of course, sponsors of The Parents Show, we are delighted to say.
Lena and Binny, welcome to The Parents Show and thanks for joining us in the studio.
Hi, Lydia. Thanks for having us.
Now, Lena, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and then Binny? I'm going to put you on the spot.
So I'm Lena Gardner. I'm a partner and collaborative solicitor based in the team in St Albans. I work for Raiden Solicitors. We're a specialist family law firm. So family law is all that we do. And we deal with the whole spectrum of family law issues, including divorce, separation, disagreements about child arrangements, prenuptial agreements and more.
Thank you, Lydia and Lena. Yeah, I echo what Lena says. I'm an associate solicitor based in our St Albans department and I became a collaborative lawyer in November last year.
Now, for any of our listeners who don't know what collaborative law is, Lena, can you spell it out for us?
Absolutely. So collaborative law is a unique process that a couple can use to work through their family law issues. Most usually that would be if a couple is going through a divorce, but it's not always limited to that divorce. It could be used if a couple wanted to enter into a prenuptial agreement or something like that. And the whole ethos of collaborative law is to stay away from court proceedings and to stay away from an adversarial process. So it's about working together to resolve the issues without the need to go to court or to have an adversarial process that can often, you know, turn up the temperature and make things even more difficult. So it's a very constructive approach.
I think that's probably music to the ears of all our listeners, because confrontation, conflict, that's words everybody wants to avoid at all costs. So that's great. That's great news. And so how, Binny, if I can ask you, how does it differ from going to court or even mediation? Some of our listeners might be familiar with mediation.
So as Lena quite rightly said, it's about a process which avoids court. The main ethos kind of behind collaborative law is that the parties retain that control. When you are in the court system, you have a judge making the final decision. But a good point with collaborative law, the whole process, is that those that are involved are leading those discussions. It is usually a quicker and cheaper option than court proceedings. If you do have to go to court, you are following directions and a timetable that the court imposes, whereas within the collaborative process, you can timetable that according to your own needs. And ultimately, the people involved are making the final decision as opposed to a judge in a courtroom. With mediation, which is equally helpful, it is another form of alternative dispute resolution, as is collaborative law. The ultimate difference is that each party will have a collaborative lawyer. In mediation, you will have a neutral mediator that will sit between you and try and assist. But with collaborative law, you will both have a collaborative lawyer who is giving their client advice, whereas mediation, it doesn't as such. It is a more formal process than mediation. And ultimately, if you do reach an agreement, you can formalise that in collaborative law. Whereas in mediation, if you do reach an agreement, that has to then be formulated into a final court order.
That's really clear. Thanks so much for explaining that. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I could imagine people having a preference for having their own representative rather than one person who represents both parties or kind of mediates between both parties. Like, it's so great that the nuance, like that there's so much preference going into helping families negotiate tricky territory like divorce. It's really heartening to see that solutions are popping up to cater to really every option.
Absolutely. I think, as Binny said, mediation is a really great process in its own right, but it's a very, very different one because there's one neutral mediator, and that can feel quite daunting. Whereas with collaborative law, you have your lawyer with you all the time. So within the process, you're always going to feel supported. And like you've got your solicitor by your side, which is a big difference to mediation.
Yeah, no, it sounds personally, I think that would be my preferred route. It just feels like it would be more supportive. And then you can have conversations outside as well with somebody who is just tailored to you, to your cause, I suppose. And if someone chooses collaborative law, can you tell us what the process looks like, Lena?
Absolutely. So the first thing to be aware of with collaborative law is that you do need to identify a solicitor who is experienced in this area and who has the collaborative training under their belt, which Binnie and I both do. So that's an important point to note. At the outset of the process, if you and your collaborative solicitor feel that the process is the right one and the other person involved also is happy to go ahead with the collaborative process, then fundamentally what will happen is there will be a series of meetings between the two people and the two collaborative solicitors. So we call them four-way meetings. And it is really as simple as that. So there will be a series of these four-way meetings. They'll be spaced apart, probably a few weeks in between each meeting. And really, the meetings will be where the discussions happen and where the agreements can ultimately take place. Now, at the beginning of the process, it's really important to note that everybody involved will sign a commitment to not go to court, to keep the case out of court. And if the process breaks down, then the parties would have to find new solicitors. So what that means is there's a really strong buy-in to the process from the beginning. So everybody is fully committed to resolving the issues within the collaborative process. So it's the four-way meetings that are the key element to the process.
That's a brilliant idea. And it sounds so constructive, you know, putting those kind of assurances in place to make sure everybody keeps on track is fantastic. And Beanie, I could imagine our listeners thinking, do lawyers really work together? Even though like they come from opposite perspectives, how do they bring the best interests of both parties together?
Yes, it's a very good question. I think that's a lot of listeners will have that question in the back of their mind. And yes, lawyers are trained to work together. There are clear boundaries in place. When you are looking at collaborative law, even the lawyers involved in that know that from our training, it's all about being cooperative, problem solving, and supporting both parties, because you are engaging in a process where you want your clients not to have to go to court. You want to sit around these round table meetings and solve their issues. So you can work together. You do have clear brands, and as Lena said, you have these meetings together where if there are issues that crop up and you see that your client and the other party are going to disagree, the solicitors, the lawyers will get together and see what way you can tackle to overcome those issues, as opposed to it breaking down and then one going off to court.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, in a collaborative case that I dealt with not so long ago, one of the people involved was finding the process challenging, because obviously, you know, we were talking about really difficult issues to do with the arrangements for the children and the finances and how things were going to pan out after the divorce. And she was finding it quite overwhelming at times. And myself and the collaborative solicitor on the other side, we really were able to work together to make sure that the process was as smooth as possible for everybody. So we made sure that there were lots of breaks when, you know, when everybody just needed to take a breath and get some fresh air. We made sure that the meetings didn't go on for too long. So we tried to keep things sort of bite-sized. So we were able to work together in that way to make it as comfortable a process as possible for our respective clients. And that worked really well.
That's incredibly reassuring.
Yeah, and it takes out the delay. So as opposed to writing a letter, sending it to the other side, you could have those conversations together. And so I think clients would appreciate that, because there's points that don't have to be dealt with by correspondence, and you can actually sit down and tackle through them together.
That's fantastic. Really reassuring. And is there anybody else who could be involved? Like, is it really just the four people, or can anybody else be brought into the conversation?
Yeah, so often there could be professionals such as family coaches, pension experts, mortgage brokers, even barristers can get involved. So that's, you know, that's another advantage of having that. And again, you're sat in a room together. There is no pressure of court proceedings. And you've got these experts that are giving you, are able to advise you. There are situations where children will be involved. And because of the breakdown of the marriage, the children are suffering as a result. And you can have therapists that come in and assist in those scenarios as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a very holistic process, really, because you know, we're looking at the situation from all angles, making sure that we're involving the right people for the right issues. And as Binny said, that might be more financial experts, like financial advisors or mortgage experts, but equally it could be, you know, professionals that are able to offer more emotional support to the family, like therapists, coaches, and those kind of people. So it's very, very tailor-made to the individual needs of the family.
Yeah. And I love that everybody you're mentioning who could potentially be brought in, it feels and it sounds like it's about constructive solutions rather than slinging mud at each other or kind of trying to build a case. It everything sounds neutral and constructive and helpful to the parties. And it feels like it's going, you know, in a positive direction.
Absolutely. Yes, that's right. I mean, it's one of the great advantages to the process, really, is that it's focused on the needs of the family as a whole, rather than, you know, it becoming an argument and a battle between the two people.
A lot of couples, when the marriage or relationship does break down, I think they automatically think, I'm going to end up in court, which a lot of people don't want to do, or they're in a situation where they think they can speak to someone and work through those issues. They just need a professional. So this is the type of process that would really benefit them.
Yeah, it's really compelling. And actually, it feels a bit silly asking the next question because I think I know the answer, but I'd love to hear it from you both. Like, so why do people choose this route instead of the usual court battle? You must see so many different types of scenarios.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I think where the situation lends itself to the process, so where people really want to work it out themselves, it's a great process because it is so constructive. It can be so much quicker because, as Binny said earlier, the people involved, the clients involved, have control over the process. So they're setting the agenda, they're setting the timetable, rather than being in the hands of the court process, which is, you know, really slow, unfortunately. So much quicker. Saving time usually means saving money as well. So it can be significantly less expensive than the court process. But for me, the main advantage is it's keeping the channels of communication open, and it's keeping the family on amicable terms, especially where there are children involved. It's really important in my mind that everybody does what they can to keep things as constructive as possible. And that's where the process really comes into its own.
Yes, completely agree with Lena on all those points.
Brilliant. And I mean, it's so nice and refreshing to kind of buck every stereotype about divorce ending up in court and being acrimonious and adversarial. And you paint such a constructive and harmonious picture. Obviously, it's not going to be harmonious all the time, but every kind of accommodation is made to keep it going in that direction, it feels, from what you've described.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And are there times when it just doesn't work? Are there times when actually collaborative law isn't the best option and you just can't choose that route?
Yes, there are certain situations. I mean, collaborative law is based on openness, trust and commitment to the process. And if there are situations where one party isn't being completely honest, or just doesn't want to be, it just won't work, and the process will fall away. So it has to be both parties committed to the process. But if there are situations where there are safeguarding concerns for children, say, or domestic abuse, it's probably not going to be the right process. But having said that, collaborative lawyers, we are trained to be able to assist. So even if we do face difficult situations, we can try and work through that. But if there is a huge area of concern to a party, then it won't work. There has to be that commitment from both parts.
That makes sense. And I wonder, do you ever come across a situation where a couple might try collaborative law, and for the reasons that you describe, Binny, it kind of breaks down, they head down the court route, realise the mistake that they've made, and come back to collaborative law with a little bit of a more kind of bigger commitment to make it work?
I think more often than not, what would probably happen in that circumstance is that they would reach an agreement at some point alongside the court process. So, you know, that's often what we see when a couple is involved in court proceedings, whether they've tried collaborative law first or not, is it's quite rare that the case goes all the way to a final hearing or what we might call a trial, because there are opportunities along the way for settlement to be reached. So that's probably the likely scenario in that instance, rather than circling back to the collaborative process again. It's not outside the realms of possibility, but I would say more often than not, the case would settle at some point along the court process without having to go all the way to a final hearing, which is when the costs really start to mount up. It's quite stressful because evidence has to be given and cross-examination and all of these things. So most cases don't get that far.
Great. Thanks a lot for that. So it must be tricky enough still keeping everything on a friendly basis or a kind of harmonious basis, particularly when you're talking about big issues. I think you touched on a few of them. Finance is always a big issue. Children and time with your child is also probably one of the more contentious issues. How do you keep things on track?
I think it's quite, you do need to focus the clients in the meetings, that they will have differing views. For instance, when we talk about finances and fairness, not everyone thinks what they've got is fair, that they will have those views. And also, when there are children involved, you may have a parent that thinks that actually they're better off spending more time with one parent than the other. So it is just working through just to reach a solution that works for both of them. But the process isn't entirely smooth in that sense, because you will have those rocky parts through it. But it's about sitting down together with your lawyer, who's your opponent, and seeing whether you can reach a solution which works for everyone.
The other thing I would add to that as well is at the beginning of the process, the couple can choose to sign anchor statements, which basically set out the reasons why they're committing to the collaborative process. And at any stage in the process, we can come back to the anchor statements, reread and review the anchor statements, and remind everybody there why we're doing this process and what the benefits of this process are and what everybody's hope is and what everybody's vision is. And that can often help us guide our clients through the really tricky bits of the process, as Binny said.
Even if your emotions do get high, I suppose, in that situation, again, like Lena said, with the anchor statement, it's about having that there, because it just reminds them that's why they started it in the first place and they haven't gone down the court route.
That's a lovely idea, to bring it back to the good intentions that were set out right at the beginning.
So exactly.
Yeah, really nice. So do you think the kind of, or you must see, is collaborative law getting more and more popular? Are you finding an uptick in demand for it? Is word spreading about it?
So the family procedure rules changed as of April 2024. The court expects parties to explore alternative dispute resolution before they make any applications to court. Mediation and collaborative law are forms of alternative dispute resolution. So there is an emphasis on people looking at other ways to deal with their issues. As I certainly, since becoming a collaborative lawyer, offer it to my clients when they come and see me at the first meeting. And there is, because they know that there is a way to avoid court, they're more willing to engage in that. So there is definitely an increase, there are more and more lawyers now becoming collaborative lawyers than probably there have been in the past. And so hopefully it's onwards and upwards and you'll hear more collaborative success stories.
Absolutely. And Binny and I are both members of collaborative pods. So a collaborative pod is basically a group of collaborative professionals who meet regularly to discuss ideas, to talk over different experiences, share ideas, share knowledge, undertake training, make sure our skills are up to date, etc. And we're all, you know, very passionate about the collaborative process. So that enables us to work together on cases and to, you know, refer work between ourselves to try and spread the word about the process and open it up to as many couples as possible.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's great to get the opportunity to spread the word through the parents' show so that just to raise awareness of it, because it sounds so much more constructive than other options. And where do you see the approach heading in the future? Are there any big shifts in the law planned that might facilitate it, make it even easier, or what's on the horizon?
I mean, we now have no fault divorce, so that's definitely made a big difference, because divorce is no longer a blame game. And we've had the change in the rules about court becoming even more of a last resort. So the things are moving in a direction where collaborative law is becoming, you know, more well known, and the benefits are even more important than ever. So Binny and I certainly hope that as time goes by, more and more people will choose this process over others, especially as the court system unfortunately becomes, you know, more and more burdened, really, in terms of the number of cases and the delays and the costs. So we really hope to continue seeing an uptake in the collaborative process, certainly in St Albans and the surrounds, which is our local area. So we will see as time goes on.
Yeah, and I'm sure Lena will agree, but we're very well happy to speak to anyone that has any questions about collaborative law and the process, just to give them some more insight into it.
Brilliant. Beanie, Lena, thanks so much for joining us on the Parents Show and sharing your expertise. Like, it's just really refreshing. Thanks a million.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Lena Gardner and Binnie Fagura from Raiden Solicitors, who are the sponsors of the Parents Show, were talking to Lydia.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6, sponsored by Raiden Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.